I'm just going to add something.
Do.
Sorry. I mean, I just wanted to add sort of, I mean, because I think it's been an undercurrent in terms of what we've been talking about in both contexts, which is about, so Terry Epstein, who's done lots of research in the US, talks about understanding students' interpretive frameworks. And I think that all learners, I mean, Michael's talked about it in the context of sort of London schools, but obviously we've got the whole sort of different interpretive frameworks operating differently. And I think Priya was alert to it as well, that learners come to the study of empire with some sense of the possible implications for them in terms of their group identity or their individual identity, and that could be sort of shame or guilt, is what this is what Kay Tri find out in terms of her work with African Caribbean students. And therefore, I think for teachers, whether they're at university or in the classroom in schools, really need to think about the narrative constructions that the students already have, that they may consciously or unconsciously create to avert the implications of shame or guilt or pride and things like that. And that might in turn then frame and affect the students' learning. You might want them to learn this, but actually, because you haven't done enough about really understanding their interpretive frameworks, your aspirations fall flat because actually you haven't done enough to actually really investigate those. Because I think students will kind of just use mechanisms to avoid or discredit what they're hearing from you, when actually they really, what you want to do is trying to get. So one other recommendation I would make is really try and access and understand students' interpretive frameworks in order to then think about where you want to get them to. Start from where they are at. Yeah, so it's that willingness of the teacher to make themselves strategically skeptical in order to empathize with the difficult new students' knowledge that they carry with them into the classroom. So you might actually insert yourself into that reflexive space and use yourself as an example of sort of saying, you know what, I used to teach this 20 years ago, and I'm not sure it was that good, as a teacher educator. Or, you know what, I've read this new book that's completely changed the way I've thought about it. If we can make ourselves vulnerable in that space, I think that encourages the learner themselves to be vulnerable in that space as well. Whereas if we set ourselves up as the sage on the stage, then I think it's very hard for the learner to feel as though, well, I don't really want to actually explore my vulnerability here, because there seems to be an expert, and the expert seems to be very sure of themselves. So that was just my last sort of comment on thinking about yourself as a teacher in that pedagogical space.
I think that's excellent, Jason, because just as a role model, it seems to me one of the great strengths of history in the curriculum is that so much involves uncertainty, whereas in the curriculum generally, there's a great deal of right and wrong answers and certainty. And that uncertainty, as you suggest, modeled through the teacher changing her mind, is just terribly helpful, I think, in terms of just nurturing civil society, really, because that's how we progress, isn't it? By changing our minds, finding consensus, thinking about things in different ways. And that just models, I think, the kind of thinking we should be encouraging in our students, absolutely.
Oh, I agree. And that again, a common trope that gets thrown around in this sort of culture war framework is that to discuss this history is to be woke, or to get upset about it makes you a snowflake. But another way of framing that could be that actually confronting all of the depth, all of the horror really, or all of the complexity of this history, and thinking about it, understanding it, reflecting it, and then moving on from it, makes us, our students, our society, so much more stronger and more reflective and more wiser as a result. But that it is a difficult process, you know? And I mean, I'm not afraid to admit it, but I myself, as a historian, have been starting to struggle recently, thinking back on, thinking ahead to future projects. But it does have an, you can come at this from a very intellectual framework, which is what I have done for a long time as a my nerdy interest in history. But there is an emotional impact that if you don't think about it, it will catch up with you eventually. Some of the things that I've read in colonial archives, or some of the responses that I get from readers, positive and negative, can start to overwhelm you. And you will feel them at some stage. So I've realized I would be irresponsible to people who read my work, to students that I work with, to colleagues, if I didn't admit that actually this stuff does have an emotional impact on me. And then that impacts on my ability to carry on working at the pace that I do or working on the topics that I do. It's not to say that I would leave them and shy away. I might take a break and recover and then come back to it. But that is a real part of the work, you know, and only by pretending or overlooking it doesn't do anyone any favours. So where students or where tyranny teachers or where even more experienced scholars and researchers and teachers may start to struggle by coming up against this history and really find it overwhelming or challenging, to them, I would have to say, look, I think we have to agree that that's okay, you know, and that we actually need to support each other to go through it. But it doesn't mean to say that you just ignore the topic or you give up, because past generations didn't have a choice. This was a historical reality that they lived through. It doesn't mean that we bludgeon ourselves with it either, but that we come at this constructively and collaboratively and therefore kindly.
We'll leave the conversation on that particular note. There's lots more that we can go into if we had more time. I want to thank both Priya and Michael for really wonderful insights and erudition and revealing of themselves as well in a very charming and insightful way. I'm sure people will find it incredibly useful. So thank you very, very much.